This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye.
Kidding, Steven. I will fire you and rehire you at a lower rate.
Fire you out of a cannon.
Hi.
Hey. What if everyone heard us just berating? Steven left in the part in the beginning of the podcast that wasn't recording.
I feel like that might be a fun new recurring segment.
Just berate Steven.
Yeah.
We didn't even know it was recording.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. But he also had to be told. Welcome to My Favorite Murder.
The mini-sode.
You tune in when just when you have time, 20, 30 minutes, depending on what we feel like talking about, whether you're at the store or...
Real loose.
Just, you know, do some yoga stretches.
Yeah, get mad that we're not reading your stories that you've sent in three times already.
But then breathe through that in blue, out red. No, in
blue, out red.
In red, out blue.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
If you have a rage issue.
Oh.
In red, you're visualizing, you're drawing in red into your body. And then blowing out blue, cool blue air.
Blue.
Wait, then the blue would be leaving your body. I think you're drawing in blue.
And blowing out.
And like a dragon blowing out red. Let's start it over. Hello, welcome.
You know what? Just keep your anger issue deep inside your body where it belongs. Hold it. Hold your breath.
Hold it tight. And work those glutes.
What happens when red and blue mix?
That's purple.
Brown? Okay. Keep the purple inside of your body tight.
Like a grape drink.
Like just turn it, like shake yourself and turn it into purple and then hold your rage and mix it with the blue and then you're just like fine.
And it becomes yogurt.
Purple is just like medium, right?
Yep.
What? You know what I mean? It's like somewhere in between red and blue is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It's you found a spot where you get to be angry if you want to, but then you also can cool it down if you feel like it.
Like
you're in control.
Good job.
Bye. Do you want to go first?
Okay. So we're going to read your hometown murders that you sent us.
You sent them. This is your doing.
Good job. This one is from Anna. That's called Love Your Podcast, My Hometown Murder Story. Hello, Karen and Georgia. I recently found out about your podcast. God, that's how every one of them starts, which is like, thank you for listening. But this is also from like 4 years ago. Like, we didn't have a podcast yet. It's weird.
I had a premonition about your podcast, so I went ahead and wrote this down.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with it. I never thought that there were other people out there enjoyed murder. I watch every movie, much as my parents dislike it. Anyway, I wanted to let you know about my hometown story. I'm originally from Mexico City. And when I was young, maybe about 10 or 15 years old, an old lady that lived two houses away from mine died. I always thought that it was a little weird because some cops had shown up to ask if we had seen anything. But she was old and my parents just told me that she passed away. So I just left it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus also exists.
Cut to the film. The Orphanage. Have you seen it?
Creepy as fuck.
It's so creepy.
In February, I went home to visit my parents. And for some reason, my dad and I started talking about that woman in the house and if her son was still taking care of it. And my dad finally said to me, it must be really hard for him to sell the house because his mom was murdered there.
What?
I was in shock. He had never told me this or anything relating to this. I find out that she was murdered by one of Mexico's most infamous women serial killers called the Old Lady Killer.
Yes.
Oh, she wrote it in Spanish. or La Mata Viatis in Spanish.
Yeah, La Mata Viatis.
You know what I'm saying? Isn't she? Anyways, her name was
Juana. Were you going to make a Giada joke right there?
No, oh. I was going to make, no.
Okay.
Very tasteful joke.
You're right, of course.
I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. Her name was Juana Dayana Barrez Sampero. This woman used to be a Mexican wrestler known as the Lady of Silence.
What?
Which is La Dama del Silencio. Del Silencio. I'm sorry. I took typing instead of Spanish in my fucking...
I took French.
All white town.
Don't. But, sorry.
Okay.
The lady who was murdered was the Lady of Silence?
No. The lady who was the fucking serial killer.
No.
Was a Mexican wrestler known as the Lady of Silence. Oh,
please.
She was the most infamous women's serial killer cult. I'm going to scrap this because I want to do this as my murder so bad.
This is so fucking good.
I know. Fuck. From what I understand, like, this is new to me too, everyone.
I've never heard of
like,
this.
Like, we scan these and are like, okay. From what I understand, she started killing old women to steal things from them and would dress up as a nurse and convince the old ladies to let them into the house and then kill them. But eventually she started liking to kill and just went for it.
What?
For the longest time, the cops thought it was a man who was committing the murders and not a woman because she would punch and strangle the victims. And of course,
wrestlers.
Then she said, and of course a woman wouldn't be strong enough for that unless she's a wrestler. She
yes.
wrote that. She was fine. Wrestles, actually, they're really good at punching. They don't actually hurt you.
You mean because they're like faking the punch?
It's not fake. my God.
You mean placing?
I'm my husband.
Placing the punch?
Placing. She was finally caught in 2006 and sentenced to, you ready for this? 759 years and 17 days.
Oh, okay.
In prison.
That was for stealing the watches.
Yeah. Anyway, so interesting and fascinating. I thought you would like to learn about serial killers in a different country. Love your podcast. Thanks so much for doing it and making me feel a little more normal for all these things. Honey, you're fucking better than us. This is such a cool story. Have a great week from Anna.
Yeah. Okay. The Lady of Silence. Your grandma, just picture it. Tooling around the house. Do-do-do. Canary up in the corner.
Yeah, like, I've lived so long, and I'm like, it's so cool that my grandma can stay at home and live at home.
Just resting and just making a roast or whatever, and then she shuts a door, and who's standing behind it but the Lady of Silence wrestler.
Oh, my God. Did she wear a wrestling mask, do you think?
Yes, a gold lamé wrestling mask.
With, like, a nurse's uniform? That's a kind of a cool character for a wrestler.
That'd be pretty amazing. And then you're like, she's got those big, thick white shoes on, like the kind of a Farmalari look, like, on the bottom.
I honestly have wished that those would be in style for so long because I want to wear them. So, like, with the lifts.
Nurse's shoes?
I want those so bad on my feet.
My mom was a nurse. And
right.
So we grew up with all those, just the super wedgy, rubber heeled shoes.
I think those are kind of cute in, like, a vintage way. And I'm trying really hard to bring them back.
Do it. A thick white shoe,
or there's sometimes they come in tan, and I'm like, those are fucking cute. They're like nude. They're not tan. They're nude.
Yeah,
I kind of dig those.
Okay, well then I think we have our new uniform. That sounds perfect.
Okay, fuck black dresses at the live shows from now on.
Now we're dressing like Mexican wrestler nurses,
and we have to wear the mask the whole time. And then I mean, now I don't know who Karen is and who George is. George is the one with the wrestling mask on that has like the red and the blue, and Karen's the one that has the purple.
Purple.
Oh my God.
They're both so around. Silencio the whole time that we can't tell them apart.
Neither of us talk.
Okay, I'm going to do Stephen, a full shout out to Stephen, who is now going into these hometowns starting from the beginning.
Yeah.
Having fun.
All the people, right?
I didn't want to say it because then it just makes, like, we want to give Stephen credit, but we also don't want to sound like as how overwhelmed we are by all of this.
It's not our fault.
Okay.
Well, and also I think it makes people feel better that we're finally doing that thing we said we're going to do for a full year straight.
Anna's is from April. She probably doesn't listen anymore. She stopped listening.
She's like, fuck them.
Yeah. Anna, please tweet at us if you're still listening.
I have a system, so hopefully we'll get to all the good ones.
Thank you. Now that we are the cats out of the bag, thank you, Stephen.
I mean, let's be full, what do they call that? Transparency, okay. Like Obama tried to be. Let's do that on this podcast.
And Hillary.
Because also, yeah, she tried. I think it gave me so much anxiety. Like, we actually said the amount we had and all that stuff, that I didn't want people to feel lost in a sea of, like, they'll never read it.
Definitely.
So now let's go back to January 4th of 2016.
That was a year ago.
It was a full fucking year
ago. Holy shit.
And this was the subject line was Florida sucks, but this hometown child murder doesn't? Hello, ladies. Your podcast has led me to dive headfirst into the history of my hometown murders. This murder is not just in my hometown. It all happened just walking distance from my actual house. On the morning of November 4th, 1980, Eliza Nelson, 10-year-old with long blonde hair and slate blue eyes, was riding her bike to what was then called Palm Harbor Middle School. I went there as a child. Eliza was going to be late that day because of a dentist appointment. Her mother had given her a note to excuse her tardiness, but that tardiness would become a forever absence. Shit.
They didn't give you a note for that.
Nikki's really painting a picture here.
Yeah.
Larry Eugene Mann, a male with prior sexual assault convictions in both Florida and Mississippi, including molesting a mother and threatening to sexually assault her 18-month-old baby,
Jesus,
kidnapped Eliza and left her bike in a ditch about a mile from the school. He then slit her throat and beat her over the head with a pipe that had some type of concrete base. He discarded Elisa's body in a citrus groves that were eventually demolished to build the new middle school. It is literally a 40-second walk from my front door. That's in all caps.
Holy shit.
Man attempted suicide the same day of the murder, claiming he'd done something wrong and needed help. Yeah. 4 days later, it was reported that man's fucking wife was getting his glasses out of his pickup truck. I love that. It's like, it just says fucking wife in all caps.
Because it's like, he had a fucking wife.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He got down on one knee and was like, you know what?
I want to spend the...
I'm not a good person. I might be the devil.
Stood in front of...
Stay with me forever.
God and his family, and was like, I'm going to love and cherish you. I'm going to murder children, though.
I'm just going to do my thing. There, she found Elisa's bloodstains tardy note. Oh, so she goes into the pickup truck. This is awful. The police were notified and soon had a warrant to search the truck. They found paint scrapings.
The police were notified, meaning his fucking wife was like, what's up?
Get me out of here.
Good for her.
Could you airlift me out of here,
like,
please?
Good for her, though.
They found paint scrapings from her bicycle and blood in the cab. Needless to say, that trash bag of an individual was arrested and convicted.
And got 7 years.
Man was executed on April 10th, 2013.
Good job, Florida.
This made him one of Florida's longest serving inmates. So it just happened in 2013. He was one of Florida's longest serving inmates on death row. There is now a reading nook dedicated to Eliza at the new Palm Harbor Middle School. Aww. And you bet your asses I'm heading over ASAP to see it. Thank you both for being incredible funny women and making me realize how deep my love for true crime really is. Nikki, that you did great on your hometown murder. That was an absolute atrocity.
Also, make me a reading nook when I die, please. I mean, turn my body into a reading nook.
Is that what you would like?
A reading nook sounds like a drink. Yes.
Do you want it like...
put Elvis... Yes.
Do you want it at the drawing room?
Yeah. Yes.
Back over by the karaoke machine.
Yes, that's a great karaoke machine. Unless they turn into one of those fucking digital karaoke machines, then get me the fuck out
of
there. Oh,
no, you won't be... There's no way.
Later.
Then we'll put you at the alcove.
Alcove's great. I like the alcove outdoors.
Okay, nice. Good.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Birds. Bird feeder. Okay.
I like birds. The roost. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to tell everyone where I go all the time. Like, I'm about to be like, here's my favorite bird that I met on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Okay. Should I do one more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames,
payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time, and we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager, and companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information, so you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Georgia, I just need to ask you kind of a general question. Who among us hasn't stumbled across a 5-ingredient dinner recipe or like a power washing tutorial online and thought, I want to try that?
I know I have, but usually I just bookmark and keep scrolling. It's hard to tell what content online is legit, Karen.
Well, Georgia, fortunately, Masterclass knows a pro from a foe. They only work with experts so you can learn with confidence.
With 200 classes taught by the world's best instructors on topics like cooking, photography, writing, and more, Masterclass has something for everyone.
Once you sign up for their annual membership, you'll have unlimited access to their full catalog for just $10 a month.
Get to know yourself better with RuPaul's Self-Expression and Authenticity class, or learn about problem solving from the science guy himself, Bill Nye.
Masterclass was designed to enhance your life no matter how busy you are. Their sessions are made up of 10 to 15 minute video lessons that can be taken in any order so you can learn at your own pace.
I love it. When you sign into Masterclass, it's like the whole world opens up and you can be in there for hours just learning stuff. I learned about dog training. You can do an improv lessons with Amy Poehler.
Oh, there's the great relationship expert Esther Perel. You can get in there and learn how to build deeper connections with her.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Beep, boop, bop. Let's see. Skylar or... Steven put this one first, so let's do this one.
Great.
Like, there's got to be a reason. There's probably not a reason. Okay. This one's from March, and it's called The Catman of Greenock. Hi, guys. I'm a big fan of the podcast, and I recently turned my sister onto the show since we both share a love for true crime. But seeing as we live in small cities in Scotland, there isn't a huge amount of murders in this country.
Ooh.
Cute.
Just imagine the accent with which she was typing this.
I wish I could do it.
I can't even imagine it.
I wish one of us could not insult an entire country by doing their accent.
Can you imagine just the piles of emails we would get if we tried to speak Scottish?
They should stop doing that. They're terrible. It's racist. They should stop doing it.
Ah, that's as close as I can get.
We did it. So there isn't exactly a huge amount of murders in this country, let alone mysterious or interesting ones. Let's move to fucking Scotland.
I mean, that'd be a real relief.
Yeah. There are, however, some great local legends. Whilst speaking to my sister, not kidding, it says that, about your show and our shared interest in mad shit.
In mad shit.
She asked me a question. I told you about the Catman of Greenock. I'm going to guess Greenock, right? So the story goes that my sister's hometown of Greenock, there lives a cat man, a guy that lives feral in the woods, that crawls around on his stomach all day and eats rats.
Yes.
Elvis got so excited.
Elvis just, his whole head perked up.
He's like, my dream. He is completely covered in dirt and grime from all his years of living in the trees and cannot communicate with others. Sounds like my dream. For years, the story of
But he does have a smartphone.
And his cat has an Instagram. He has his own Instagram. For years, the story of Catman was passed from one person to the next, often believed to be a tale spun. I fucking know Steven has a photo right now. Steven's holding his phone. Steven, show us right now. No, I'm not going to finish it. Show me.
Whoa, hold on. Oh my God.
I scared the shit out of... Let me see.
No.
Let me see.
This cannot be real.
It looks like the movie... The Mulholland Drive...
Yeah,
when she finds the scary monster
in the back of the alley,
in the dumpsters. It looks like, which I think is a woman actually.
I don't know.
There's, well, there's two people when they go, the really small people.
Not the small people, the like, the, there's like a homeless, supposed to be like a homeless.
Oh, yeah, that
woman.
Comes up yeah. really fast.
Oh, my God.
This is insane.
You guys, go
Steven just
this.
Brought up three. Okay, so it's
that's
a man
a rat in his
that's
mouth.
Bald with a beard, like, and crazy hair coming out of the side of his head, and then a beard. Oh, and yeah. he is, he looks, talk about being purple.
That one looks fake to me.
Well, could this be a
hoax?
It could be a hoax.
All right, I'm going to keep reading. Sorry.
These also, these pictures, he has rats in his mouth.
Yeah,
in,
yeah.
in each picture, it's yeah, like yeah. he's crawled up to the camera like, hey, folks. And then, like, the rat is there.
Yeah. No, he's... And he also looks like he must be eating a lot of rats, is all I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you be skinny? Okay. Anywho. Wow, that was... I just fat-shamed the cat man. What's up? Okay.
What's up, 2017? Punk rock.
Catch him. And Elvis is just traumatized. Okay. Da-da-da-da-da. For years, the story of the Catman was passed from one person to the next, often believed to be a tale spun to scare local kids or worry drunk as they stumbled home, as Oof. If we need more to worry about. However, a few years ago, a video surfaced of a local citizen attempting to speak to Catman while he eats a dead rat. And then she sent a link, but then she said, you may need to decipher a Scottish accent, I'm afraid.
Oh, hey.
Oh, my God. Let me
We were
it.
Right.
Convinced that my sister was winding me up. Oh, my God. I Googled it, and turns out that Catman is 100% real. Multiple videos and photos of him exist now. Some say that he was a Russian sailor who got stranded in Greenock and lived off the streets. Others say he's just a local man with severe mental health issues. But either way, this shit blows my mind. He just lives feral. Police don't bother him or try to get him help at all. Apparently, because he doesn't do any harm to anyone else, they just leave him be. I don't know if this would qualify for the show or not. Oh, it does.
Hell yes, girl.
But I thought it was fucked up enough that you guys would want/need to know.
Yes,
thanks
yes.
Thanks again for the great show. And her, his name is Callum.
The rat man?
No.
I mean Catman?
This person's name.
Oh, the person.
Callum.
Callum.
I'm guessing it's a girl. Is that shitty?
I have no idea.
We should know that, but we don't.
Callum, K-E-L-L-U-M?
C-A-C-
Callum?
Callum. 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 C-A-L-L-U-M.
Is that a boy? I think that's a boy's name.
And we were never invited to Scotland again.
You know, I lived there for a couple months.
Oh, right.
But it's not like that was means that, it. I didn't learn anything.
Were you in a rom-com? Was that why you
did? I was, actually.
What was that movie? Was it Jimmy Garoppolo who was in that, like...
Oh, yeah, the one where she...
Has to go.
That was her? Ireland, though.
They're the same. No,
pretty
I'm totally
sure.
kidding.
Oh, my God.
I just pictured you as Jimmy Garoppolo in a town with a lot of cute... guy's name Callum.
Yeah, that was exactly what it was like. Please, anyone, email us, call us on the hotline if you know of a person. Now look, yes, we get it. This could be a person that with extreme mental illness that only will crawl on the ground. Is that good? No. Does it hurt him? Probably.
Is he happy?
He looks fucking happy.
Seems content as fuck.
He's smiling with a rat in his mouth for these pictures. But dude, it's also just like, holy shit, that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. crazy. Look up these pictures.
Like, I think half the population would be a cat man if they had a fucking choice and like, go do that.
I mean, it would be a nice relaxing weekend. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh my just God, for starters.
Cat man retreats where it's just like, be feral. Feral retreats.
Oh I would God. Get mad because I don't like crawling that much. I would be like, I need to lay down.
What if it's like feral, however, like my weekdays when Vince is at work and I'm home alone with the cats, I'm feral. Mm-hmm. Like, I have feral days.
What do you do?
Fucking dude, I wear fucking Siamese cat pajama pants and fucking t-shirts and just crawl around. No, and just like talk to them.
Well, you're a nut.
I know. It's so much fun, though.
Do you get super dirty?
I mean, I don't bathe very often. No, I do. I just don't. When Vince comes home, I'm like, hey, and I'm fine.
But like, you like wrap it up around 5:30?
4, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he always comes home a little early, so I'm like, I got to be ready.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And pretend like you've just been ready all day.
Hey.
What? This hair? Oh, this whole thing?
Right.
That was a good one. International stories of, like, let's call them stories of fascination.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever heard of the dog suicide bridge?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
Suicide themselves?
Yeah. No. It's somewhere in, I'm
Japan.
Pretty sure it's in England.
Oh.
And there have been, to date, say, I just read this article too, because I got the Atlas Obscura book for Christmas,
oh
which
my
I love.
God.
And so cool. Yeah, there's a bridge. I think it's in England, and like there's say 30 or 40 dogs have jumped off this bridge to their death.
Babies.
It's crazy.
Is it a river of tennis balls? Question.
Quick question.
Is it a peanut butter river with tennis balls flowing in it? Because
that's not suicide, girl.
That's not sad anymore.
That's heaven.
Like, can you imagine jumping face first into, like, what do you like? Tell me what you're gonna do.
Fucking peanut butter river works for me just fine. And I don't mind a tennis ball. I have to say, they smell good. And they're fun to kind of squish around in your hand if you're stressed out.
Hey, fucking men. If you have a backache, you roll around on top of one of them.
If you were swimming in a peanut butter river, there would be so much support. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you could, I guess you'd get stuck a little bit, but if it flowed, let's just say it's the hippie kind that has a lot of oil in it.
Oh, I hate
that. So there is a flow to this river.
Crunchy or smooth?
I mean, it's to your preference. I would want smooth.
And it should be salty, because then it's more buoyant when it's salty.
And there should be chocolate chips in it.
Like, we're just like, you should live in the world, but no, you shouldn't live in chocolate peanut butter lake.
Chocolate peanut butter lake. Chocolate See you peanut butter later, lake. England.
Come to our feral retreat. There are chocolate peanut butter lakes with or without tennis balls, and you can jump to your death. Congratulations.
If you, seriously though, if you have a peanut butter pond in your town, please email us. All right. I picked this next one, because...
Hold on, what the fuck is this podcast?
Wait, who cares? At this point, who cares?
I'm crying.
This is from January 8th of 2016.
She sounds weird.
No, that's just the date. Oh, okay. Her name is Jocelyn, and it says, my hometown murder, Sonoma, California.
That's where you're near.
That's great. Mm. So this might be one I know. So I'm going to do this extra dramatic. My husband thinks I'm a total weirdo because I mentally draw strangers' faces just in case they turn around and murder someone and I have to provide a sketch to the cops. Okay,
smart.
First sentence of the email, that's how she busts out. There's no hi or hello. Oh, sorry, there was a hi, Georgia and Karen up there.
She's just dying to get this out and for someone not to call her a psychopath. And we're just like, cool.
The best thing I've ever heard. Tell me more. And also, why didn't you tell us sooner?
Yeah.
So needless to say, your podcast is my fave. Yay. That's that whole first paragraph. Beautiful start, Jocelyn. Here's my hometown murder. This guy is burned in my brain because I vividly remember helicopters circling my elementary school looking for him. On April 24th, 1989. Oh, I remember this one.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is bad.
Ramon Salcido, a 28-year-old vineyard worker, went on a killing spree in Sonoma, the small rural town where I lived. Jocelyn, I lived in Petaluma. At that point I had gone to Sacramento for college, but girl, I'm with you. After returning home from a night of binging on alcohol and cocaine at a local bar, side note, this bar was right around the corner from my parents' house. Salcido found his wife Angela gone and his three young daughters asleep in their bedroom. Being an insanely jealous man, Salcido assumed that Angela was out sleeping with another man and attacked her when she returned home, cutting her with a knife. He then grabbed his three daughters and fled.
I remember this.
Right? This is bad.
Yes.
It was later reported that Angela had actually walked to the fucking ATM to retrieve money and had planned to leave him, that she had planned to leave him that day.
And bring the kids, probably.
She was just a little late. Now, if you know anything about Sonoma, and I'm picturing if there's a bar, like, it's such a small town that if they lived near a bar, like, Sonoma is so small towny.
And it's like upscale now, but back then it was rural as fuck, right?
But it's rural in the surrounding, right. But the town itself, if she went out to go to the ATM, like, it's right by the town square. Everything's kind of very central there, unless you're like out by the vineyards or whatever.
Right. Okay.
I don't know why I'm explaining that. It's just like, it's maddening to me.
Yeah.
She probably was like, I'm going to run down and get money and come back real quick. After leaving the house, Salcido drove his three young daughters, aged 4, 2, and 1, to a nearby garbage transfer station, which is right outside of Petaluma. This one rocked. My mother talked about this forever because it was it's the dumps. It's my dad. We spent my childhood with my dad going, come to the dumps with me.
Like digging through the dumps?
No.
I was gonna be like, that's so cool. Is that weird?
No. go in, he had to dump our garbage at the dump.
I've never done that in my life. I've done that once when I stayed in Lake Arrowhead, and I'm like, you have to bring your garbage in your car to places.
I know. What? You know why? Because I lived far out of town enough where there was no...
and shit would be like getting your shit.
No, still wrong.
It wasn't a campsite.
We didn't have bears.
I'm from fucking Orange County.
We didn't have services like city services. We were outside of the city limit. So
we didn't
had to
look at our trash ever.
That's insane. I mean, did you put it down a little chute?
No, but my new apartment has one. Isn't that cool?
It's very cool.
Except I know a girl, like there's a story of a girl who died in one of those. Anyways, go on.
Why was she in it?
So okay. We'll talk about it another time.
Anyway. Okay, well, I'm just... Why, sorry. I'm acting like I should be telling an anecdote when I'm in the middle of this horrible fucking story. Okay. Here's what he did. He brought his three young daughters. This is the worst, and it rocked all of Sonoma County and probably further. I mean, like, you're in Orange County, and you know... This was
and I knew about it.
So horrible. He brought his three young daughters, aged 4, 2, and 1, to a nearby garbage transfer station and slit each of their throats, then dumped their bodies down a ravine. On top of the suspicion of his wife cheating, he'd also recently learned that his oldest daughter, Sophia, was not fathered by him. So he cut her first. After disposing of the three girls, he then drove to his mother-in-law's house in Cotati, which is just north of Petaluma, and brutalized and butchered her and her two young daughters, 12 and 8.
What
Salcido,
the fuck?
Yeah, he was fucking monster on a it's cocaine, white drugs, people.
No, he's a
white drugs.
I don't want to blame it on cocaine though.
Oh, but you should.
But he's still a piece of fucking shit, whether or not he's on the cocaine.
I mean, what if he was the fucking greatest, except for the cocaine?
Okay.
Salcido, we don't know this person. Salcido stole a gun from that house, drove back to Sonoma, and shot his wife in the head. Then drove to the winery where he worked, shot his supervisor, who was wounded but not killed, and the assistant winemaker, who died. He also tried to shoot his supervisor's wife, but the gun didn't fire. Oh, Jesus. Salcido believed his supervisor was having an affair with Angela. Salcido then disappeared. Do you remember this part? There was a manhunt for 7 days.
No.
This was the part where it was like, that's why everyone was talking about it.
That's so many days.
Yes. And he killed so many people and children.
Indiscriminately.
And like the worst. Yes. I remember my parents refusing to let me go outside alone. Ooh, I just got chills. People in town were advised to keep their doors locked and stay in at night.
Jesus.
For the first couple of days, no one knew where the daughters were. Police weren't sure if he'd abducted them or killed them. 30 hours into the manhunt, the three girls were spotted by someone who had mistaken them for discarded dolls at the dump.
No.
Two of the daughters were dead, but the two-year-old was miraculously alive because of the way her head slumped forward, sealing the slice in her throat and preventing her from bleeding out. A week later, Ramon Salcido was captured in Mexico, where he had fled directly after killing the seven people. 27 years later, he remains on death row in San Quentin. This case is obviously chilling and disturbing in itself, but the fact that a serial killer was hanging out just yards from my home before he lost his mind has made it a case I'll never forget. Thanks for reading, Jocelyn.
Wow.
The manhunt part of that case was so fucking crazy.
7 days is...
And those little girls.
In a small town, I wouldn't leave my house.
Yeah. Crazy.
Especially a person who's just like killing whom fucking, like...
She went berserk. He went berserk. And also, I think technically Sonoma is a smaller town than Petaluma.
Yeah.
So like... Petaluma is the kind of place where you don't lock your door, or did back then at least.
Right.
So I really think Sonoma probably, I mean, the
they
whole
probably
thing
lost
was
their mind.
Horrifying.
Like, he's going to show up at your house at any fucking moment.
Yeah. It's horrifying. Oh, and like, he's not, it's not just like, oh, this guy that snapped on his wife. It's like, no, he's just out to kill people.
Yeah.
Fucking horrifying.
Did the winery guy live? The winery guy lived and his wife didn't die. I wonder, I want to hug them. But the wine assistant guy, that poor baby, he was just like, I'm restocking bottles, and he got killed. Like,
it's the fucking worst.
I always feel the worst for like innocent bystanders. Like, not that his daughters weren't, they are, but it's like
his supervisor who was wounded but not killed, the assistant winemaker, she died, but the supervisor's wife. It was like a misfire, just like, but just by chance, she didn't die.
What a fucking asshole. So he's still alive on fucking death.
On San Quentin.
Well, he was in San Quentin last January when we
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Fuck,
what we would have heard. If I saw that name in the paper, Ramon Salcedo is one of those ones that's like Richard Ramirez of the Night Stalker, where it's like, ding, you immediately know who it is. And you know, like if they said it, all of Northern California would be like, thank fucking God.
My God. Steven, you're hired. These are great.
I just thought, which ones would you guys like to read?
Steven, you look so nice, but you clearly have a depraved fucking mind.
Yeah, you know.
These.
You know.
He knows. And he sends them, like, he sends me some, and he sends Karen some, and you're just, and, like, you can tell, like, what he thinks Karen, like, is telling us a
NorCal.
Lot about us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nice. And, good job,
and
Steven.
And you sent me a cat one. Oh, my God, Steven.
Steven, you fucking nut. You're fired.
No, I love it.
Oh, I mean...
Oh my God, we're saving the rest of these for next week.
So great. Thanks you guys so much for sending those in. Thank you for telling. All of those stories were so great. Yeah. So much detail. So,
and Steven's going from the end to the beginning and like looking at them all over. So they're not. Keep sending them is what I'm saying.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And also, I don't mind if we go into the local fascinating, creepy people.
That was cool. As long as it's creepy as fuck. And there are photos and that was scream at.
Look up that guy.
Go look that guy up,
please.
Oh, Elvis knows it's what time it is.
Oh, what up?
You guys, thanks for listening.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Elvis, you want a cookie?
Ooh.
Elvis, you want a cookie? Elvis.
Bye.